Next on Gospel of Life, witness an historic gathering with descendants of notable African-American leaders. Hello, I'm Father Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. What if we could take aside the ravages of time, the veil of history, and have before our very eyes key people from the past? Well, we have something close to that today because we had a conversation with three women who are all descendants of key African-American historical figures. I'm joined by Janet Moran, our Associate Director, to discuss this historic interview, which Janet, of course, as you know, took place in our New York offices of Priests for Life and Gospel of Life Ministries. Tell us about these three women we're about to hear from.
Well, the first one is Lynn Jackson, and she's the great-great-great-great-granddaughter of Dred Scott, who was the person who really sued for his freedom. And his case went all the way up to the Supreme Court. It's incredible to have met her. And then at the same interview, we had Gloria Jackson, who's the great-granddaughter of Booker T. Washington, as we know, who founded Tuskegee Institute right after the Civil War. I mean, not long after the Civil War, here, this gentleman, with only a handful of money, was sent out of his town to get educated himself, taught himself to read, self-educated, and then went on to found this institute, which is quite remarkable. And then at the same conversation, if that isn't enough, we have Dr. Alveda King, who is a pastoral associate of Gospel Life Ministries, works with us full-time, and is the niece of Martin Luther King Jr. and her father, who is Martin's brother, A.D. King. So
yes,
quite incredible to have, I mean, the timing to have all three of them together and to hear how they talk about the push for life, the connection between civil rights, you know, movement and the slavery, freedom of the slavery, and now the unborn child is being a slave in its mother's womb, and just how the all comes together and connected. It's quite.
There are deep connections, first of all, between the stories of the three of them and of the people from whom they descended. And so they discuss those connections between Dred Scott, Booker T. Washington, and Dr. King. And then also, all of them acknowledge the deep connection between that whole striving for equality and the striving that we are undertaking now with their collaboration for the unborn child. So it's a beautiful conversation that we had. We're going to show some key excerpts from this conversation. There really is a lot to be said here within the African-American community, first of all, as we examine black history, and then from the African-American community to the rest of the world. Basically to say, hey, folks, let's wake up and let's realize that we can't afford to fall into the same mistakes of the past. We've overcome the mistakes of the past, slavery, segregation, only if we don't let those same mistakes be applied to a different group of people today.
That's right. Well, this is, like we said, a look back in history. And for those students who might be watching our program, very often during Black History Month, you have to write an essay or do something. Well, you better get your pen and paper out right now, because here we're going to see that conversation you had, Father, an interview with these historic figures. So let's take a look at that interview right now.
Of course, so much of what Booker T. Washington stood for in the minority communities, you know, we're still grappling with it today. And it's like we sort of hit hopscotch, you know, one from the other. I always say that before the great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream, Booker T. Washington had a vision. Yes. And before that, Dred Scott had a calling. And so it's just a building, I think. And that because we're here together, we're just expanding that even further. And so I feel just blessed and honored to be able to share that.
With Dred Scott, it's a little bit different because it was so long ago, and he didn't have the opportunity to speak for himself. So we don't have a lot of words that he was saying, and they were not written down. We know what Booker T. Washington did. We obviously have film of Martin Luther King, but we have only a few photographs of Dred Scott and his portrait. And yet we know that the Dred Scott decision was considered the worst case in the U.S. Supreme Court. We know that all law students have to study it, and it's a known case, and the impact of what was said and what was done is still reverberating within our society today. Mm-hmm. It's considered one of the catalysts, or major catalysts, of what started this Civil War, and that's huge in our country. So it's important for us to know and to go back, and some people have said to me, because like Gloria, it is quite an honor to be the person that people come to say, oh, about Dred Scott, you know, that this was something that it's impacted us today, because the Dred Scott case is such a thing that people say to me, even though we know these other people or civil rights leaders, Dred might have been the original civil rights African American, because he was courageous enough to stand up and take his case to the Supreme Court. Even though he himself wasn't the attorney, he couldn't speak, but I know that one day he and Harriet had to sit and say to themselves, should we take this next step? And it was dangerous for their children. And so our family hasn't talked a lot about it in the past, and that's why I'm very happy to be able to expose it now and have the opportunity to have dialogue about it, not just here, but all over the world, actually. We've gotten responses from everywhere.
I bet you have. He really spoke through his action, yes, of filing suit for his freedom,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And one thing I'd like to say is in St. Louis, I work at a law firm, and I can look out the office over to the old courthouse, which is one block away. And it's quite a sight to see. And somehow the destiny that God has provided for me to be able to do that and have all these things come together, it's something that is beyond what I could have dreamed or imagined.
I'd be interested to hear the three of you reflect with one another on how your respective legacies reinforce one another, how they are related to one another. We know that there's a strong common heritage here, a common theme, a common effort now, even in this generation, for human rights. But how does your individual family history interconnect with one with the other?
And I think along with that, we were not taught black history in a lot of our schools. So some of what we know, we've taught ourselves. And it's time for that to change. So I feel very strongly that this is just a time that the Lord has opened up, this opportunity for us to all come together and revisit those things. But we need to do it in love. We don't need to go back in anger. We don't need to go back in hatefulness.
To the issue of life, mm-hmm, is that our entire history here in this country has just been oppressed for life, a push for life. I mean, you know, mm-hmm, it was the Middle Passage coming over from Africa here to survive for life, mm-hmm, to live under a brutal chattel slavery system, yes, where we were treated as nothing more than property. And yet we pushed for life through that. And then we, through the Civil War, finally we had freedom, at least a declared freedom. But we learned that there was so much more than to freedom. We had to be free in our mind, free to earn a living for our families. And so we continue to push forward, I think, for life in that instance, only to be disappointed and pushed back through a failed Reconstruction, through an increase in lynchings, through an upsurge in violence. And yet again, we're pushing forward through life. And, you know, my great-grandfather comes on the scene, and he, in some ways, is illustrating what just one life can accomplish, just an ordinary life, but one that's governed by God and wants to see the betterment for all. Like, he was mm-hmm, he was called a minister of reconciliation, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and that was important to him. And he said he would mm-hmm never let a man make him stoop so low as to hate him, and he would never let his grievances overshadow his opportunities. And what he was saying is that it was an act of his will, because we had every right to be full of anger and hatred, mm-hmm, and bitterness, and yet we were pushing for the fullness of life. And then with Dr. King, it was like the culmination. Finally, we had civil rights. He opened up that opportunity for us then to really pursue happiness, if you will. But I think it all is germane to the issue of life that we speak about now. And even though it's a little bit more of a, you know, not a direct issue with regard to abortion and so forth, it just shows that as a people today, when we hear that there's so many abortions in the minority community, the black community, it's so much against who we are as a people. And we've got to make it known to our group that, mm-hmm, listen, our whole existence in this country has been about the right to life. And so how dare us snuff it out and not be affected by it. So I think it gives us an opportunity to come together, because we all represent that issue, the issue of life in one way, and perhaps can speak that into the community in a way that perhaps others that are outside of the community can't speak it, because they tend to just negate you right off the bat, but we're one of them. We're part of the community. And so, and with our heritage, I think could really make an impact. And so I pray that something of that nature will come out of our gathering here.
When we think of life and the question of personhood, whether you say to a person, you're not a person because of your skin color, so you're only three-fifths of
exactly.
a person, or to a baby, you're not a person because nobody can see you and you're really tiny. And so personhood, human rights, human dignity, exactly. they all go together. And I keep seeing in my heart or my mind's eye, certainly Dred Scott, I'm thinking about Roots. And you remember when Kunta Kinte held up the baby?
Right.
And so you saw the generations there. Certainly with Dred Scott, too. I mean, we are the generations.
Absolutely.
And so I guess we certainly weren't just blobs of tissue. Here we are.
Absolutely.
So we are people. So personhood. And I think in each of our families and each of the bloodlines, personhood has been important. It brings dignity to the human experience. And I know that that's something collectively we understand as well.
Brings the history right here to the room in a different way, and that is that the three of you represent three very significant individuals in history. And if each of them were sitting here with us in this studio, if for a moment God could take away the ravages of time and we could have Dred Scott and Booker T. Washington and Martin Luther King Jr. sitting here with us right now, what is the one sentence that you think they would most want to say to our audience?
To hold these truths to be self-evident, that all people are created equal. I know they would agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the intent whereupon this nation was founded. And I know they would agree on that. Mm-hmm. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all people are created equal. And I know they would agree that we're all entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah,
I mean, I know they would agree
Absolutely.
With that. I'm sure they would.
Given the time that my great-grandfather lived, one of the things that animated him, of course, was his faith in God.
Hmm.
And what he had to do in order to do what he did when he did it is he had to be able to dispense with bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he would perhaps just point us to Scripture and you know, any number of scriptures. I always think of the one that he mentioned often, that any man is in Christ and he's a new creation. The former things are passed away and all things become new. Of course, when he said that in his time, you know, it was very difficult for people to put the former things behind.
Mm-hmm.
And yet my great-grandfather, I think, understood that if you don't, you're so locked up with the bitterness and the hatred and unforgiveness, you cannot move forward. So I think perhaps he would just give us that scripture and ask us to really let that be manifest and make it real in our lives.
I'm sure he's grateful. I'm sure he knows that those who could did. And so what must be for that moment in time. I think forgiveness, I think he would tell us to forgive and to work this out and let's go forward. Something to that effect.
Well, what a marvelous opportunity that was. And Janet and I will be back in a moment to reflect more with you about this conversation and about what you can do to carry it forward. So please stay with us.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Now you can make a difference in the lives of the unborn for as little as $12. Make your donation today and we'll send you a copy of the pro-life masterpiece, Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. Vivid imagery and striking colors come together in a painting that captures the essence of eternal hope for the unborn. You'll help change the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Plus, you'll have a treasured piece of artwork that serves as a daily reminder of the beauty of precious living souls. Make your donation today.
Welcome back. On this program, we have heard from Lynn Jackson, the great-great-granddaughter of Dred Scott, Gloria Jackson, no relation, but the great-granddaughter of Booker T. Washington, and Dr. Alveda King, the granddaughter of Daddy King, whose sons were Martin Luther King Jr. and A.D. King, who was Alveda's father. So we have here, Janet, a marvelous lesson about Black history and the connection with the pro-life movement.
That's right. And, you know, one of the key phrases I like that Gloria talks about is the push for life.
Yes.
And how she sees that as a constant from Dred Scott taking a push for life, that brave stand he did to say, yes, I'll let my case go forward. I'll let these people represent me. And then she talks about, you know, her great-grandfather and how he pushed for life. You know, he pushed through being illiterate and taught to read, taught self-educated, went on to, you know, pennies were collected from the town and educated himself. And then, of course, Alveda growing up in the civil rights movement herself and having to push for just the rights, you know, the simple rights of drinking from the same water fountain, using the same restrooms. I mean, she went through that whole period. And they always talked about pushing forward for life and how that connects now with pushing for the rights of the unborn.
You know, in the time of the abolitionists, they made little artistic representations of the slaves. And the wording on it was, am I not a man and a brother? Right. And then in the civil rights movement, many of our black brothers walked in protest wearing placards that said, I am a man.
That's right.
Now, isn't this what we are saying about the children in the womb?
That's right.
I am a member of the human family.
That's right. I am a baby.
I'm a baby. I'm a real person.
Right.
And that's this. That's the thrust here. That's this push for life, the recognition of what's already there. It's not up to us to grant people their dignity or their rights. God did that already. What we're saying is recognize what's there already. Am I not a man and a brother? And the question that the unborn are asking in our time, am I not one of you? Am I not a member of this community? Is there not room for me? Is there not welcome? And these three women, members of historic families, are saying a resounding yes to that question.
That's right. Well, I hope everyone is encouraged by hearing these interviews and realizing that we at Gospel Life Ministries are going to push for life and continue to push for life. Representing the unborn and advocating for them and for their mothers so that no woman should ever have to go through an abortion. We're here for them.
Exactly. Well, thanks, Janet. And brothers and sisters, you can continue this push. First of all, by introducing others to the beautiful lessons that we've heard in today's historic interview. You'll be able to find this information at our website, gospeloflife.com, where we will also post segments of this interview. So again, as Janet said at the outset, if you're doing research for black history, use this material, and we'll be glad to provide you more insights from these women. We'll be back with more suggestions of what you can do right after this.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. We need your help to dominate the abortion industry's false ideas that abortion is good for women. And the way to do that is to help us reach as many people as possible who have had abortions and are willing to either seek the healing that they so deserve or even speak out about their abortion experience. Janet, of course, heads up the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, together with Georgette Fournay of Anglicans for Life. And Janet, this is really a very simple but powerful way that our viewers can help the movement. There are so many women out there who have had abortions, and by registering with the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, they are first of all benefiting themselves, right?
Right.
We connect them with the various healing.
One of the, on our website, silentnomoreawareness.org, mm-hmm. One of the largest listings of all the abortion recovery programs that are out there.
Yes.
But what we need to do is hear from the women and the men as numbers. So, for example, from the women and men that already speak out and go to events and speak on behalf of the campaign, that's a small number, all right? But right now we have close to 3,000 men and women who have signed up to say they regret an abortion. So, for example, if one of our women is giving a talk in church, they can stand up now and say, well, I'm just one of a few thousand women and men who have come forward to say they regret their abortion. Well, that's an okay number. But when you put that in contrast to the fact that there's been 50 million children lost to abortion since 73, that doesn't sound so great, you know, to the media, and the secular media in particular. So what we're asking Christians to do is, if you are a man or a woman who've experienced abortion and you regret that decision, take the first step by sending us an email saying, yes, amen, I agree with you. I had an abortion, or I took my girlfriend for an abortion, and yes, I regret that deeply. Just send us an email.
We don't publicize their names. This is completely confidential.
Not.
It's that, again, let's explain to people the value of having the numbers. The pro-abortion people claim that abortion does not impact women in a negative way. They say, oh, there's plenty of people out there, they've had abortions, and they don't regret it.
That's right.
We know the damage it causes them. We know that there are so many suffering silently. We know that there are so many out there who would love to make their voices known to say, yeah, we're out here and we're suffering, and we want the world to know that. We don't necessarily want the world to know who I am individually, but by signing up with the campaign, we're able to say there's tens, there's hundreds of thousands that we know.
Regret,
that's the point.
Regret
we know
that decision.
They're in touch with us, yes.
So, like, for example, they just go to our website, silentnomoreawareness.org, and just send us an email. It's a simple little form they fill out, and they identify themselves and give us their email. Now, what's going to happen? We'll have that information. But like you said, Father, it's kept confidential. Mm-hmm. We will send them an email, a monthly email, where they can get information about what the campaign is doing, opportunities to be silent no more. If in that initial email they ask for some healing resources, then we will, again, have someone point them in the right direction. And that's all it has to be from there. If they don't want to take any further steps, it's okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Just that they can be counted among the men and women who say they regret their abortion. However, if after they receive our emails for a few months and they go through healing and they say, God's calling me to take another step, they could just ask us and we can put them in touch with where is there going to be a gathering or an event where they could just come in prayer support. They don't even have to hold a sign yet. Just come in prayer support with the other men and women. You should see what happens, Father, at events where the men and women who have experienced abortion and regret it come together. It's such an additional healing experience to be with like-minded people. So I implore everyone to please get in touch with us, because we need the numbers to show and reach out to more people that healing's available.
Thanks, Janet. Pastors, please publicize it in your churches. Friends, publicize it to your email list on your website. Have a link to silentnomoreawareness.org. Mention it in your newsletters. Help us get the word out. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Spread the word about our program. Thank you for watching. Thank you.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion. Haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Father Frank A. Pavone, director of Gospel of Life Ministries, is an internationally known pro-life activist, speaker, and author. He has been the national director of Priests for Life since 1993 and appears regularly in the religious and secular media. He has served at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. He has been a spiritual guide for Norma McCorvey, the former Jane Roe of the Supreme Court's abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. Father Frank is president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, an umbrella group of many denominations working to end abortion. Father Frank is also the national pastoral director and board chairman of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. Father Frank is a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, and carries out his pro-life mission with the permission of his bishop. For more information on Father Frank and Priests for Life, visit www.priestsforlife.org. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.